You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to stetsonbaptistchurch.org.
Awesome. Well, we are starting week six of our Ephesians series. And man, I want to ask a question. How many of you would say you are a lover of music? All right. Yeah. I mean, every hand in the room probably should be raised, right? Like, music is probably something that you listen to, that you enjoy. I don't know about you, man. Almost everything that I do, especially growing up, had to be behind music, or music was a part of it in some way, shape, or form. And I think of, like, when I would work out or do basketball or whatever, man, I always had music playing. Or maybe when I'm studying, even when I'm preparing messages now, I have some mellow instrumental or some bands that I like playing in the background to kind of just focus me or help me out in that. I will say I'm more into podcasts now. I think that's just something that happens gradually over time. And so maybe you're there now. If you're there now, dude, you're an old soul, you know? You're an old soul. I remember when me and my wife, Kate, started dating, we would drive her car because her gas was free and her car was much nicer than mine. My gas was not free and it is still a junker. And so you can see it. It's a nice little gray Chevy Cruze. If you want it, you can have it for $500. That's a lot. I'm not going to give it cheaper. $500. But I remember when we would start dating, we would drive her car. And I remember particularly one of the first times that we got in her car, you know, her radio turns on, it connects to her phone, and she starts playing one of her Spotify playlists. And the song As It Was by Harry Styles popped on. The song As It Was by Harry Styles. And I remember thinking, like, man, I really enjoy the song. Man, I'm glad to hear it. And then right when the song started and the person started singing, I realized, oh, this isn't Harry Styles. And so my first immediate thought was, oh, not Harry Styles, as same as it was. It's just a different song that sounds very similar, has a similar type of beat and similar type of instruments in it. But then he keeps going and he gets to the chorus, and it's the same chorus as Harry Styles' song As It Was. And then I realized, it made me light bulb moments, that she was listening to a cover version of the song. She was listening to somebody else sing the song. And so I told her, I was like, hey, you realize this is not the actual singer. Harry Styles actually wrote and sings this song. And she goes, oh, I didn't know that. And so I was like, man, yeah, cool thing. Wild that you didn't know that. It's a pretty popular song, right? And then it happens again. It was weird. Like, another song, another popular song in my mind, a cover version of it was played in her car. And I was like, you realize this isn't? And she goes, no, I did not. And then it happened again. And I'm telling you, like, it was an out-of-body feeling of, like, you're messing with me. I'm being punked right now. There's no way you don't know these songs. And all that to say, like, we look at these ideas like listening to covers versus listening to originals, and very seldom, very little is the cover version better than the original. Like, it is very few and far between that happens. You listen to a cover and go, man, that is better than the original. Usually, the original has a lot more to it. It's got a story behind it. It's got the blood, sweat, and tears of creating the song, writing the music behind it, recording it, all that goes into the original. And the cover, you're just kind of picking up and you realize, man, it's never going to meet the expectations of the original. And what we're going to see tonight, this isn't just true of music, but this is true of our life as well. This is true of our life as well. There are many moments and many times in our lives that we were meant to live and experience the original version of things, yet we always settle for the cover of it. We settle for the fabricated, fake version of it, the version of it the world wants to offer us, when the original was always there for us to experience, for us to gain. And so Paul is going to help us deal with this truth as we pick up in Ephesians 3. As we finish Ephesians 3 and we turn our attention to what Paul has to offer us today, we're going to look at this idea of original versus cover. What God meant for us versus what the world offers and what we often settle for. Picking up in verse 14, Paul says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." So if you remember last week, we talked about sharing the gospel and how Paul looked at them and said, "And I've been blessed to share the gospel with you. Now you go and do the same." And so he says, because I've been blessed to share the gospel with you, and because I've been blessed to be a part of your gospel story and you being brought to Jesus, I, Paul, pray for you. I bow my knees before the Lord because the gospel is brought to you. I pray for you. And then he continues, "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So he says, because you've been given the gospel, I pray for you, and the things that I pray for you is that you would see the fullness of who God is. And in the fullness of who God is, you would see the fullness of certain attributes and characteristics that he has for you. The ones that Paul names are that you would, that in the fullness of God, you'd be strengthened. That in the fullness of God, you'd be granted wisdom, by in the fullness of God, you'd be shown the fullness of God's love. So because of who God is, I pray that you would experience the fullness of these things in God. And he finishes the section by saying this, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Paul basically finishes by saying, because of all this, just know that we don't want it for ourselves, but we want it to the end, to be to God's glory. And for all of this, to God be the glory. And I pray for you because I've been blessed to share the gospel with you. And because of that, I pray that you have the fullness of these attributes and characteristics. And all of this, I pray for God's glory in Christ Jesus. So as we step back from the passage and we see what Paul is saying to the reader, the question then lies for us, what do we do with it? What can we as believers take from this? What can we walk out of the room knowing? When I think of this passage, I think of this. I think this is the thing that I want you to see Paul saying to the readers, and what we can believe ourselves as well, and it's this: the things we search for in the world are fully found in God. The things that we search for in the world are fully found in God. Key words, obviously, there, fully found. What does this mean? It means, yes, the world might be able to offer you a partial version of this, a cover version, if you will. A version that is not complete, a version that is broken, a version that is not perfect, not holy. But those same things that we search for and we see in the world in partial, we can experience and have in full in God, because they are fully found in God. Not the world. There's nothing that this world can offer you that is going to be perfect and complete. But everything that God offers you is. In this section, Paul mentions three things, and I want to walk through the three things that he mentions of what can be fully found in God and why those things are important. And then even a fourth that goes beyond all of them. The first thing he mentions is that one of the things that we can fully find in God is strength. He uses language like this, that God may grant you to be strengthened with the power through Spirit, and that you may have strength to comprehend. So Paul is saying, man, if you want strength, strength comes from God. And the truth is, whether you believe it or not, we all desire and want strength. Now, I'm not just saying physical strength. Like, I'm sure some of you want to be physically strong. I would like to be more physically strong than I am. But that might not be you. You might not work out, and that's okay. But Paul here is not simply talking about physical strength. He's talking about strength in its completeness, in its fullness. He's talking about strength to be secure in our identity. He's talking about strength to withstand temptation. He's talking about strength to process trials quickly and with maturity. He's talking about a strength to be real with one another and be very vulnerable with others. He's not talking about just physical strength. He's talking about mental strength. He's talking about emotional strength. He is talking about physical strength, and he is talking about spiritual strength as well. And what he is saying is, worldly ways cannot provide this strength. This strength that I'm talking about, that I want you to have, does not come from others. This strength that I want you to have, that I'm talking about, does not come from yourself. It does not come from your friends. It does not come from your coaches. It does not come from your teachers, your parents, your mentors, your bosses, whatever. It doesn't come from them. He is saying this strength only comes from God. Only God can grant you this strength that you desire. This strength that looks like this. Strength to know that your identity is a son and daughter of God if you believe in him. Strength to know that you have the ability to withstand temptation with his spirit inside of you. Not of your undoing, but relying on him. Strength to know that we can process momentary hurt with eternal hope and belief in Jesus and the gospel. And even strength to know that to be vulnerable and honest is to be human in the right and perfect way. This is a strength that the world cannot give you. It's a strength that the world will try to sell a facade of, while God is standing on the other side saying, if you want these things, come to me. Come follow me, and these things are what follows. But not only strength, he then moves on to wisdom and maturity. He says, Mandy, I want you to fully find wisdom and maturity in God. He uses language like saying to be rooted, or to be grounded, even to be filled. And then he goes into talking about knowledge, of saying that you would know the width, height, length of what God has for you. I don't know if you've been... Usually when I think of wisdom and maturity, I always think of this idea of, like, wisdom comes with age. That's what most people have probably heard. You've probably heard it yourself, that wisdom comes with age, or knowledge comes with age, whatever it is. Man, can I tell you that is not true? Now I'll tell you again, like, the world will offer some forms of that. Like, the older you grow, you will look back on your life and you will say, like, man, that wasn't the smartest decision. Or you'll grow and say, man, I don't know if I would do that again. And then in that sense, yes, in some ways, wisdom and maturity does come with age. But the wisdom and maturity to be firm in what is good and pleasing to God does not. Here's what I'm saying. Man, you can grow really old and stay immature. You can grow and become and even a millionaire if you want, and still be foolish in every regard. I remember when I was preparing to be a father, and on my Instagram, you know, because your phones are always listening to you, a bunch of dad reels would pop up, and I would just watch them. And one was this idea of, like, a dad knowledge book, or like dad facts book. And it was this thing where, like, right when you have a baby, you get hit, like, you just get hit with this random knowledge, and you just know things that you never knew before. And they're just, like, random little tidbits of information, like how to grill, how to work on cars, how to do some stuff around the house, right? Some handyman stuff, just random facts about the world, about politics or whatever. Man, that is not how life works, right? We know that that's foolish to believe that. It doesn't just come to us, but we have to seek it out. And what Paul here is saying is that, man, we can't seek the true wisdom and maturity that we desire and we lack in the ways of the world, but only true and consistent wisdom and maturity comes from God alone. It is only by God that true wisdom and maturity come to be, and we can experience it and have it. It's not by things that the world's going to teach you. It's not by things that the people around you are going to teach you. All of that will have a limit, but true and consistent and spiritual, if you will, wisdom and maturity comes from God alone. And that is because of two things. A, because he himself is wise. And B, because wisdom and maturity are literally credited to coming from him. It says in Daniel, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might." And those things belong to him. He produced and created the idea of having wisdom. The attribute of wisdom does not come from anything else other than God. And so it would be foolish of us to walk around our lives thinking, I can go experience the fullness and greatest version of this, but not go to the one who created it all. So if you want true and utter strength, go to God. If you want true and utter maturity and wisdom and growth in those areas, go to God. But also, he says, if you want the fullness of love, go to God. We talked about this a few weeks ago during Valentine's week, but we're going to talk very similar about it today. It says in other places of the scripture that to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That is what is offered to us through the love that God has, because the love of God is the greatest form of love we could ever experience. There is no greater love than the love of which God loves us with. I know that's a lot of love there, right? But if you can remember, we looked at scripture that said that the greatest form of love is that somebody would give their life for one another, and Jesus literally did that for you and me. That is the greatest form of love. That is the greatest picture of love that we could ever have. It is not a heart, but it's a cross. It is not looking into somebody of the opposite sex's eyes or even your parents' eyes. It's looking to the eyes that are right below a crown of thorns. We didn't look at this scripture when we talked about it a few weeks ago, but 1 Corinthians 13 is almost known as like a love chapter because it talks about attributes that belong to love. And man, we're going to read. I just want to read to you the beauty behind the love that we get to see in scripture. It's this. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. Hear me when I say this. Nobody, not you, not anybody else in this room, can love like this. I can't love my wife with this type of love. I can't even love my daughter with this kind of love. I love you guys, and I can't love you with this kind of love because I will fail. And so will you. And so will everybody else on this planet. We cannot perfect this type of love, but we know somebody who can and who did and who does. God loves you perfectly in this way. It said, love never ends. God's love for you never ends. We cannot stray far enough away from God that his love is not present. His love is always there. His love for you is unconditional. Sometimes that's easy to hear when we think God's doing and living our way. Like, he's allowing us to live the way that we want to live. It's hard to believe that God's love is unconditional when he calls us and tells us to do things, when he has rules that he wants us to follow, when there's things that we have to say no to because God says it's not good for us. Let me tell you, even in those moments, he loves you. Even in those moments, his rules and his callings upon you are out of his love because he knows that they are the better way. He's not going to let you do whatever you want to because he knows that leads to destruction. And what kind of love is a love that pushes somebody towards destruction? Hear me, you can't find this type of love in the world. You can only find a fabricated cover version of it. You can't find this in a significant other. You can't find this in a friend. You can't find this in a parent. You can't find this in a purpose. You can't find this in an identity. You can't find that love in the things of the world. You can only find that love in and through God. That is where the perfect and full version of love is. And if those things aren't enough, you go, hey, Nate, that's awesome. I love to hear that I can get these types of strength through God. I can get maturity and wisdom truly is found in God. And man, I can even get the fullness of love found in God. But man, there's a couple other things that I want that I don't know if God has the perfect version of them. I think I can find it over here. I think I can find it at home or with my friends or in the community or at school or my hobbies or whatever. Don't worry, Paul thought about you too. Because Paul even says that everything else and more is found fully in God. The full and perfect versions of those things are found in God. He says it to finish that section. He literally says, now to him, talking about God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or even think. Man, he's saying, hey, guess what? Like, I can't even ask enough from God because he knows more. He can do far more than I could ever even think of. He is over it all. There is nothing that we see, know, touch, feel, smell, whatever. There's nothing in this world and in the things above this world and the things in the spiritual realms that God is not over. He's over it all. He is the king of all kings. What does that lead to? That leads to this. It leads to knowing that there's nothing, again, nothing in the world that the world around you, the culture around you, the people around you can offer you that God does not have a better version of. Everything that you want or think you want, there's a better version of it found in God. But hear me when I say this, it may not look like what you thought it would. It may not be what you thought it would be. But it's true. The best version of everything we could want or desire is only found in God. Listen, even when you don't feel that's true, I promise it is. Even when you feel like, man, I want to do this because, you know, it's going to satisfy my desires and it's going to fully satisfy me. I promise you it won't. You will always go back looking for more. Yet, God says, everything is under me. And the fullness and best versions of anything we could desire is in him. So what does that leave us to do? Where do we go from here? Here's what I want you to walk away from tonight, being able to know, say, and pursue. It's this. If you want to live the best life possible, follow Jesus. If you want to live the best life possible, follow Jesus. One step at a time, one faithful foot after another, seek Jesus. And follow him. Again, this may not look like you thought it would. I'm not saying it's going to be the best life that you've experienced in the sense of like you're going to get everything you've ever wanted. And fame and popularity and money and whatever. all of your desires satisfied. No, rather, you're going to realize the only thing I need and want is Jesus and a life pursuing him. And my joy and my peace and my purpose is found in what he has for me, not in what I had for myself. The best life possible is only by following Jesus. And the question I want to end on is this. What would look like for you to take this calling seriously? What would it look like for you to pursue the life that Jesus has for you by following Jesus? What would it look like for you to live a life where you're constantly learning about him through his word and by the teaching of it? What would it look like for you to live a life where you're quick to forgive and slow to anger? A life where you are at peace in all circumstances, knowing that they don't control you and everything that happens to you is temporal? What about a life that is full of joy, knowing that your eternity is sealed and nobody can take that away from you? A life where you're confident in your identity as a son and daughter of God. A life where you are strong amongst everyone else and all assets. A life where you are mature and wise beyond your years. And even a life where your love is second to none of those around you. Friends, let me tell you, the fullness of these things are only found in Jesus. And we have to decide, man, do I want to live my life with the covers of these, the fabricated partial versions of the life that I was meant to live, or do I want to experience the original, greatest version of each of these characteristics and each of these attributes?
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.